Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Danny, give me a sound check. Speak up.
Starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So okay, welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host here on The Raw Deal on Revolution Radio, this 30th day of October, 2023. I do have a special guest today, Danny Siras, who has vast background in law enforcement. We're going to be taking a close look at this latest purported mass shooting in Maine, which, of course, you won't be surprised, turns out to be one more in an endless string of false flag shooting, where they're doing their best to take away our guns. Frankly, because of events in Israel, Hamas, because we got the border threat, because there are reports of Hamas and Hezbollah coming up the border, whatever side you're on, you're going to be alarmed about this situation and most certainly not going to want to give up your guns. I mean, this is just one more of the ridiculous policies intended to destroy America by the Biden administration now. Unfortunately, because of medical commitments, Mitchell has to leave at the top of the first hour, and we're therefore unable to take calls again. I miss those calls tremendously. We're going to be spending about half the time on what's going on in Israel, the potential there, and half the time on the Lewiston, Maine event, and it'll be a little mixed. Let's begin, however, with what's going on in Israel. Here's a report.
Israeli Defense Forces have just released footage they say shows the actions of their ground forces in Gaza over the last 24 hours. They say they struck Hamas units attempting to launch anti-tank missiles and mortar shells. Although they met resistance, they claim to be neutralizing Hamas cells. But however compelling the combat footage, it's impossible to know how successful they're being in their attempt to destroy Hamas, nor to know the cost in civilian life of urban warfare in the congested streets of Gaza City.
I completed a situation assessment. Last night, we have accomplished a phase in the war. we will continue to be strong and precise and hunt down every terrorist.
The IDF released night vision footage of its tanks and armored vehicles entering Gaza last night after mobile phone and internet had been cut so people couldn't inform Hamas fighters about the location of the Israeli columns. It also means they can't send pictures of the damage undoubtedly being wreaked on civilian infrastructure, not to mention those being killed. This was the neonatal ward at Shifa Hospital in Gaza City on Wednesday. Apart from the patients, thousands of civilians have sheltered there because under international law, a hospital shouldn't be targeted. But the IDF says Hamas has its headquarters beneath the hospital, suggesting they might regard it as a legitimate target.
We will soon continue to expose, like we exposed yesterday, Shifa Hospital. We will continue to expose more details on Hamas using the civilian population in Gaza, foreign and local. We will expose this soon.
Fighter bombers carried out the most intense aerial bombardment to date. Israel says it killed the Hamas commander in charge of drones, paragliders and aerial defense and struck 150 underground targets in the northern Gaza Strip. The tunnels enable Hamas fighters to move around undetected, but some of the 229 Israeli hostages are also being held there, in danger of being killed by their own air force or by their captors in revenge.
Bring them back!
This evening, the hostage families demonstrated in Tel Aviv before their representatives met for the first time with the Israeli Prime Minister. Many are desperate for the ground invasion and bombing to stop. But tonight, the Israelis were bombarding Gaza again, even as ground forces remained inside the strip, weakening Hamas, no doubt, but bringing more devastation and death to Gaza.
Meanwhile, the United Nations chief has said clear violation of international humanitarian law are taking place in Gaza. Antonio Guterres has renewed his demand for a ceasefire, saying international law is being violated in the war between Israel and the Palestinian armed group Hamas. Israel has bombarded the besieged Gaza Strip relentlessly since October 7th, when Hamas launched what was supposed to be a surprise attack, but where we're going to learn it was anything but, killing at least 1,400, according to Israeli authorities. After the attack, Israel cut off supplies of water, food, fuel, and electricity to the enclave's 2.3 million residents. In fact, the UN has appropriately and accurately called a form of collective punishment, which is a violation of international law, the Hague Convention, the Geneva Convention. These are crimes against humanity, punishing an entire population for crimes only committed by a part. More than 1 million people have been displaced. Israel has ordered residents of northern Gaza to evacuate to the south, but the air raids have continued throughout. And frankly, the Gazans have nowhere to go. Egypt and Jordan have most appropriately declined to take them. They know once they leave, they'll never come back. Meanwhile, Hal Turner has been doing a simply brilliant job of reporting on ongoing events. Here's one of his latest. Turkish Navy deploying 100 ships, he says, against Israel. I suspect it may be for Gaza. 50 U.S. military transport planes in 24 hours to the Middle East. From Friday until into Saturday, the U.S. sent no fewer than 50 military transport planes loaded with troops to the Middle East. In addition, the list below shows unprecedented naval deployments. Today, Iran said they will not abide by U.S. warnings to stay out of the Israel-Hamas conflict. We begin with naval deployment showing 11 countries in support of Israel. Frankly, I think that may be a gross exaggeration, but if NATO perfunctorily endorses mass genocide, well, in a way, that's not surprising. We have one carrier group after another. We have the Ford Carrier Strike Group. We have the Ike Carrier Strike Group. We have the Bataan ARG. We have a whole lot of other ships. All the above, along with submarines and other support ships, show an utterly massive naval deployment. I'm told this is larger than ones done prior to the U.S. war against Saddam Hussein in Iraq in 1991 and again later. In addition to all the above vessels, another aircraft carrier, the HMS Queen Elizabeth III, that's of course a UK carrier, transited the Strait of Gibraltar yesterday morning around 11 a.m. en route to the Eastern Mediterranean. In addition to that carrier, the Navy of Italy is also deploying vessels. In the 24 hours from Friday into Saturday, the U.S. flew those military transports on top of the flight of a significant number of C-17A Globemaster IIIs and C-5M Super Galaxy transport from the U.S. Air Force Air Mobility Command have been arriving in the Middle East. This does not even cover the regular commercial flights the U.S. has chartered to exclusively move troops. Yesterday, 28 October 2023, this was written on Sunday, Germany put 1,000 soldiers on alert for deployment to the Middle East in case of emergency. About 1:47 U.S. time Eastern Sunday, President of Iran said Tehran will not follow U.S. warnings against interfering in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. According to the press service of the president of Iran, Israel has crossed red lines, forcing everyone to take action. The president made a point to also say the presence of U.S. warships in the region will make no difference to Tehran's decision. Here's Hal Turner's analysis. Based solely on the movement of ship troops and planes, it's obvious to me the United States is going to war, a big war. Trouble is, the federal government and the Biden regime has intentionally left the U.S. southern border with Mexico virtually open. Literally millions of illegal aliens have been entering the country via Mexico since Biden took office. It's my opinion that many, not all, of these illegals are a fifth column sent here by adversaries to be sleeper cells. I believe when war erupts in the Middle East, we here in the U.S. will also be attacked by these sleeper cells. You must be ready with emergency food, water, medicine, a generator to make electricity in case the grid is taken down. Count on it. Have cash money in your possession in case cyber attack takes out the financial network, making credit, debit, and SNAP EBT useless. After almost no one takes checks anymore. So folks with cash will eat, those without cash will go hungry. The utterly massive movement of troops and weapons indicate to me hostilities are imminent, which could, and I emphasize could, not necessarily will, trigger sleeper cell attacks here in America. If you wait until trouble starts, you and every other person who failed to plan will be rushing to stores at the same time, trying to get food and supplies in short order. Store shelves will be empty, and those of you who took no action will find yourself standing in an empty store. Don't be like the masses who are asses that wait until the last minute to get supply. Do it right now, today. Meanwhile, we have a report here from what's going on in Gaza.
Israel communication minister says Tel Aviv is severing all ties with Elon Musk's Starlink agency. That's after the billionaire offered Gaza his company's satellite to restore internet connections cut by Israel before it expanded ground offensive.
Israel will use all means at its disposal to fight this. Hamas will use it for terrorist activities. There is no doubt about it. We know it. And Musk knows it. Hamas is ISIS. Perhaps Musk would be willing to condition it with the release of our abducted babies, sons, daughters, elderly people, all of them. By then, my office will cut any ties with Starlink.
Now, let's get some more insight into this and speak to former U.S. officer Scott Bennett. Scott, thanks so much for joining us today at RTC. First off, sir, what do you make of Musk's move? Is this motivated out of a altruistic desire to help others, or is he simply wants to stir things up and create mischief for others?
Well, he's being politically wise. I'll say that for the least of them. There's an old saying, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I think the Israelis are terrified that the truth is going to get out, and the truth is going to be seen about the genocide that they have been engaging in, and it would arouse millions of Islamic people, Arabic people, Christian people from around the world to descend onto Gaza in a humanitarian mission of salvation that we've never seen before. We've never seen the likes of. So I honestly think the Israelis are paranoid and absolutely terrified of the video footage coming out about what they're doing to women and children and old people who are stranded in Gaza. I think they're terrified about the American people also seeing the devastation and the murder that the Israelis are doing without any moral conscience or restraint. And the more that's seen, the more nations will abandon any support of Israel. They may even kick out the Israeli ambassadors, close their consulate and embassies, and pull their own political staff out of Israel. You could see the end of Israel being done by its own political leaders. And Netanyahu is a master of suicide and self-destruction and lies. He was the one who came to the United States and argued Americans to send their daughters and sons into Iraq in a foolish and genocidal mission. And he's now trying to do it again using the same language of axis of evil and all sorts of nonsense and propaganda that they simply dusted off from the 9/11 war. So I think this is really going to be the end of Netanyahu's regime and possibly of Israel based on their own actions. And other people are saying that, well, very tempered diplomatic military persons have been reviewing this and they're in agreement. Israel is completely engaging in an act of political suicide by trying to exterminate the Palestinian people. And it is not going to be well received by Europe or the Americans, or certainly not by any Arab or Muslim nation or people. And other Muslim political regimes are watching this very closely because their own political lives depend on how they react to this genocide. Look at Erdogan. He has been very clear that the United States' entry into this is a sign of mental illness. And he's exactly right. We've been saying the same thing. The United States is a degree of mental illness if it thinks that its own people is going to support this. So I would say this is a desperate attempt to shut off all communication because the Israelis know the images of their murder and genocide are going to be interpreted exactly as that, and that will isolate Israel further.
I believe he's got that right. Danny, would you like to comment on what I've been reporting so far and Scott Bennett's assessment? Your thoughts, my friend.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me okay
today? Yes.
Good, good. Yeah, I always like listening to Scott Bennett, even when he's on your show. I listen to him quite a bit, and I do agree with him. The thing is I don't understand. There seems to be, of course, I'm not there on the ground, seems to be a lot of civilian death here going on all over the place, kind of haphazardly, and that is a concern to the rest of the world. It sure looks like they're trying to get rid of everybody. Of all ages, you know, whether it's women, children, whoever, not necessarily any type of military attacks. And I frankly don't really understand the strategy there at all. And I think it's going to come back and bite Israel in the butt in the end, sir.
Well, I think the strategy is mass genocide, Danny. And if you don't understand it, it's because it's not in you to commit what's going on here. We have Bibi declaring on this invasion, you must remember what Amalek has done to you, says our Holy Bible. Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu announced the invasion of Gaza Saturday by citing a command from the Old Testament. calling on Israelites to go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. You must remember what Amalek has done to you, says our holy Bible. Here you can hear him say it.
You must remember what Amalek has done to you, says our holy Bible. And we do remember, and we are fighting. Our brave troops and combatants who are now in Gaza or around Gaza and in all other regions in Israel are joining this chain of Jewish heroes, a chain that has started 3,000 years ago from Joshua ben Nun until the heroes of 1948, the Six-Day War, the 73 October War, and all other wars in this country. Our hero troops, they have one supreme main goal: to completely defeat the murderous enemy and to guarantee our existence in this country. We've always said, never again. Never again is now. You must...
Netanyahu's comments, Max Blumenthal observes, are an explicit expression of genocidal intent, painting the Palestinians of Gaza as the biblical Amalekites whose total eradication was commanded by God as punishment for their sins. Times of Gaza reports Israel is committing mass war crimes in Gaza amidst a total collapse of communication service. The entire world is witnessing this insanity, and they're watching how the U.S. is helping facilitate Israel's war crimes. Our special relationship is a curse on our nation, which has brought us nothing but trouble for over 70 years. America used to act as a neutral arbiter in the Middle East, but now Antony Blinken and Victoria Nuland have us working to blot out the memory of Amalek. Here's Russian market tweeting, Secretary of State Antony Blinken. I stand here as a Jew as well. My grandfather fled pogroms in Russia. My stepfather survived Auschwitz, Dachau, and Majdanek. I understand the horror of Hamas actions. And by the way, if these were death camps, how could he be in three of them and still survive? He continues to attempt to place blame on Russia for everything. Here's a report about the destruction taking place.
Well, the United States is ramping up additional assets, money, weapons to the Middle East. Israel says it will wipe Iran off the face of the earth if Hezbollah intervenes in Gaza. The Turks seem to be motivated to mediate. We heard from Erdogan over the past few minutes saying we'd like to mediate a peace. This flies in the face of what Secretary of State Antony Blinken just said over the weekend, which is we're not interested in any kind of ceasefire, which is unbelievable. Joining me now is Colonel Douglas McGregor. Colonel, it appears they're really going in the opposite direction with Blinken's comments yesterday and now Erdogan coming out and saying, hey, we're happy to mediate a peace here.
No, I think that's true. It looks as though the same people controlling events in Jerusalem are controlling events in Washington, and they are unanimous in their desire for a major war. And I don't think people understand the implications. People are viewing this as Hamas, as an enemy that richly deserves to be destroyed. There's no argument about that. The problem is, if you want to destroy Hamas, how do you go about doing it? And collective punishment that involves 2.2 million people is not a very popular way to do business, and particularly at this point in time, because the whole region is seething with anger over the attacks on the civilians in Gaza. There's no debate in the rest of the region about who's responsible. It's Israel. So you have the Israelis and all of their neighbors talking past each other. We are in a position to somehow or another address that and move this out of the realm of inevitable regional war into something more manageable. But there doesn't seem to be any interest in doing so.
The United States moving aircraft carriers, additional assets into the region. You make the point that this, you know, you're right there involved in this. This is a very dangerous prospect for the United States.
Oh, it is. People don't seem to understand that today's Middle East is radically different from the Middle East of 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. The last major war was the 73 war, where Egypt and Syria attacked Israel, and Israel ultimately prevailed, although it was from time to time touch and go. Today, the Arab states are far more, I would argue, cohesive. The governments are stronger. They have more technology at their disposal, and there's a greater willingness to weigh in collectively. And today we're also talking about Turkey and Iran as playing a major role, and as a result, Russia. Russia cannot sit idly by if Iran ends up being attacked by us. It will feel obligated to intervene because the Iranians have supported the Russians against the Ukrainian proxies. So this has the ingredients in it for a very major war. Now, we're escalating across the boards. We seem to think that escalation works. We've tried that in Ukraine. We've escalated and escalated and escalated, and today Ukraine is in ruins. My great fear is that if this regional war unfolds as I think it might, there may be no Israel at the end of it.
You write in your piece that Israel could become the next Ukraine if we don't watch out. How do you mean?
Well, first of all, Hezbollah that sits up in the north is not simply backed by Iran, but we estimate they have 100,000 to 150,000 of their own fighters, plus some estimates are between 130,000 and 140,000 rockets and missiles, of which at least 40,000 are extremely precise. Now, there's enough armament in Hezbollah to destroy half of Israel. Hezbollah has made it clear that if, in fact, the Israelis march into Gaza with the objective of rooting out Hamas and without regard, frankly, to the loss of life there. And, you know, let's be honest, if you're going to march into a city and fight, the notion that you can pick and choose your targets is absurd. So the loss of life will be enormous. This is the catalyst for a regional war. And the Iranians have said it. The Turks have said it. Everyone has said this is unacceptable. King Hussein, or not Hussein, but Abdullah in Jordan gave a brilliant speech in Cairo explaining that he shared the Israelis' horror at what had happened to them and thought that they had responded reasonably under the circumstances, but said collective punishment that involves 2.2 million people and driving them out of their homes and into the desert is simply unacceptable. This is an impasse because we have a full court press in the United States to emphasize why we should be doing this, why we should be co-belligerents with Israel. And that's effectively what we're becoming in a very real sense. So that puts us at risk of confrontation with Iran, with the Turks, and with Russia.
United States.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Ah. Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This, of course, is an earlier report from Al Jazeera correspondent Wael Al-Duba stating that nearly 100 Jewish occupation airplanes are bombing Gaza right now. Well, a genocide is currently happening in Gaza in front of the world's eyes. The Gaza Strip is completely cut off from the outside world. Here are some reports from Hal Turner. Columns of Israeli tanks are on the move, approaching the border. What we're seeing now is the entrance of the U.S. into the battle. This we didn't count on, said an Hamas official, that we didn't expect much of a response from America. Hamas, we hold Israel, Washington, Western capital responsible for the massacres in Gaza. Israeli tanks storming in, crossing the border fence. Israeli tanks have begun. Hamas-linked accounts are claiming Israeli tanks have been struck by an anti-tank guided missile and destroyed. Meanwhile, up the West Bank, there's a shootout between Hamas and the IDF at the Nizani Oz checkpoint. The three homemade bombs were thrown at Israeli soldiers. The Jordanian deputy prime minister and minister of foreign affairs say that the Israeli invasion of the Gaza Strip has begun. Large IDF infantry and armored forces operating in several towns exchange fire. Just-in rocket attacks have begun against U.S. facilities in both Syria and Iraq. Also in the West Bank, the city of Nablus is rising up against the Israeli invasion. Here's a map showing where the Israeli forces have entered the northern Gaza Strip. Advisors to Israel's PM says military operations are underway, and when this is over, Gaza will be very different. Here is Syrian army artillery, and Dara have begun shelling Israeli army positions at the Golan Heights. Syria now becomes the second outside country to begin attacking Israel over the Gaza situation at this hour. Yemen and Syria are now apparently in the fight. Al Jazeera reported, "Well, we are not all right. Human body parts are everywhere. Missiles are aimed at everyone. The bombing of Gaza does not stop for a second." Coastal arrest of Gaza report. Areas, American troops of the Delta Force unit are fighting on the ground. I'm attempting to verify, says Al Turner. I called the Pentagon, and they simply said, "Not at this time could they confirm it," but they didn't deny it. Meanwhile, reports of heavy losses of Israeli armored vehicles, including tanks destroyed and soldiers killed. More. The Dutch embassy in Baghdad urges all Dutch citizens to leave Iraq. President Belarus, any attack on Iran will lead to a third world war. Two senior U.S. officials, CBS, the Israeli strikes and ground operations in the Gaza appear to be the rolling start of the full-scale invasion. U.S. Department of State recommends U.S. citizens in Lebanon leave now while commercial flights remain available. Channel 14, disappointment for our army tonight. That's an Israeli channel. Military observers, Israeli army has so far failed with a ground invasion and is practicing a scorched earth policy through indiscriminate bombing of Gaza. Now get this, total of 5,000 U.S. soldiers partook in Israel's overnight raid in northern Gaza. This is coming from Sputnik News. Absolutely outrageous. Coastal areas reporting the Delta virus, but it's been a failure. How shocking is this? A total of 5,000 U.S. service people took part in Israel's overnight ground operation in northern Gaza, Iranian news agency reported on Saturday, citing sources. The Israeli operation reportedly involved 3 divisions and several brigades of the U.S. Armed Forces, according to the news agency. The Israeli army is now trying to divide the Gaza Strip into 2 or 3 zones by entering from these areas and starting the next phase of the war with Palestine to eliminate the link between the forces of the Palestinian movement Hamas. Just outrageous. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un had in a special announcement that we are on the threshold of World War III and everyone must prepare. Those staff, an Iranian computer hacking group, warned Israel, you will undergo irreparable damage in the field of cyber and infrastructure. From now on, you should pay for each spilled blood. Wait for huge combined attacks. Our target is clear, specific, and accurate. Military analysts on Channel 14. The first land operation is a complete disappointment. The government is gambling with the lives of soldiers. Israeli media report. Thousands of Israeli troops alongside hundreds of tanks and armed vehicles have entered the northern Gaza city with heavy and difficult fighting against terrorist forces ongoing. Remember, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, so it's pure propaganda to call Hamas terrorist. It's the Israelis, in my opinion, who better qualify for that title. The Hamas spokesman said there are no talks currently taking place between the group and Israel over a potential ceasefire. The Israeli army received a devastating blow on the outskirts of the Burjai camp, where tanks were burning as if there were toys and dolls, Walla reports. In New York City right now, thousands of people are engaged in a sit-in at Grand Central Station. The event, organized by Jews, demands an immediate ceasefire, saying, we're taking over the Grand Concourse. We're refusing to allow a genocide be carried out in our name. Ceasefire now, never again for anyone. I have a photograph here. It's staggering. I have been there, of course, to Grand Central Station. It's enormous, and it is jam-packed. Meanwhile, Danny, give me your thoughts. What's your take on what's going on here, my friend?
Well, sir, I'm on the side of the United States, and my biggest concern during this whole thing is that U.S. Resources and soldiers are going to get drawn into this, and we're going to get drawn into some kind of a conflict with Iran and maybe even further with other countries surrounding Israel. And I just don't want to see that. You know, we have enough problems here in the United States with our borders being open and all these strange men jammed up in hotels that we covered on our last time I was on with you. All around the country. And that's a grave concern of mine, along with the current economy situation that's going on. And the last thing the United States needs to be doing right now is be involved in some kind of a war somewhere else when we have all these major security problems here in the United States. But I know I'm not the only one that shares this. I mean, I've heard multiple people this last 2 or 3 weeks on these same exact concerns. Israel believes it should be doing what it's doing. I don't really agree. I think they've had enough of a response. This apparent attack seems to be a time that they just want to remove Gaza completely from their country. That could be. And there's other reports saying that that Netanyahu secretly wants to reestablish this continental highway with a railway. And that there's no way to do it unless he removes Gaza from the country. So very interesting. He was at the UN with a map kind of drawing this new, this highway.
So, and there was no, and Danny, there was,
I just don't want to be involved.
And Danny, there was no Gaza on the map.
Right. Exactly. There was no Gaza on there. So, I mean, he was pretty clear when I saw his presentation holding up that map. I'm like, okay, is that really what this is all about? I don't know. What I don't like is I don't like him playing us, sir, for fools.
Yeah.
And we already covered this before with all of the fakery that we saw in the beginning of this. Again, he showed us a lot of fake video, a lot of propaganda video that we were able to show that was falsified about the Palestinian tax in his country. We were able to show that these videos were fake. We were able to show that much of it, they had fake bullets in their guns. We were able to show the trickery and the fakery in the video. We showed a lot of that, talk to that. So my concern is, why is he showing the world fake videos and he's trying to present a narrative to the world that actually did not happen? And that is a grave concern. If this was really happening, we would have seen the real footage. But instead, we saw a lot of hoaxes, a lot of fake video, a lot of edited video with stuff that, was obviously fake, mixed in with some old stuff from another time. So anytime you see that kind of stuff and you see that kind of fake propaganda, such as even in a false flag sort of a scenario here in the U.S., we know that there's something going on there. And that's a grave concern. He's obviously lying to the world or trying to present a narrative to the world that is not true. Okay. And that would go along with his wanting to put in this highway, put up a fake story, then go in and hit Palestinian, go hit Gaza based on this fake story. Well, we know that Israel is not immune to some false flag type of activity. So, you know what? I'm not on the ground there. I can't walk around. I can't see it. But I know what I can see, and I can see this fake propaganda video coming out of some of the major news outlets and out of Israel and out of the Israel government video sources that they're putting out. And that's a grave concern for me, sir, along with everything that's going on in the United States. Again, I'll say it. I don't think we should be drawn into this conflict. I don't want to see any Americans over there. It's none of our business. We don't need to be there. And we need to come home, and we need to fix our economy. We need to fix our borders, and we need to deal with all these strange men that are caravanning all around our country, unsecured, that we don't know. That's a direct threat to all Americans, and that's my biggest concern, sir.
Danny, I couldn't agree more, but we're already there. 5,000 U.S. troops, and apparently they got their ass wiped. Here we got the new House Speaker. Russia, China, and Iran are the new taxes of evil. That bothers me tremendously. Explain why he does support the White House proposed $105 billion bill. Now, fund the war in Ukraine, Israel's war in Gaza, fund Washington's military buildup in the Pacific, and provide funds to increase security at the southern border. He said the consensus among House Republicans is to split the funding into different bills. Meanwhile, we have reports about a B-52 having a new bomb. A B-61 gravity bomb variant, supposed to be extremely powerful. Hezbollah, Hamas, Islamic Jihad leaders resolved to defeat Israel. No surprise there. We also have Iran's foreign minister. We will not sit and watch. We will not be able to sit fire. For 3 weeks, we've been witnessing war crimes committed by Israel. The genocide in Gaza and forced displacement there must be stopped immediately. The United States and some European countries support the Israeli occupation regime. The U.S. and some European countries support the killing of about 7,000 civilians in less than 3 weeks in Gaza and the West Bank. The United States must put an end to genocide and crimes in Palestine. With a continuation of the war in Gaza, we will not be able to cease fire. In West Asia's our region, we will not be complacent or conservative when it comes to our security. Efforts are being made to consider Palestinian actions as terrorists. That will not deceive free nations and a global conscience. We tell the United States if the genocidal operation continues, we will not stand by and watch. If the genocide continues in Gaza, the United States will not be spared from this fire of war. There's also a huge, huge crowd in London protesting on London Bridge. There's no sound of the video, but just from that image, you can see what's going on. Meanwhile, This is very, very interesting. Ron Hoons edits a wonderful online journal known as Hoons Review. Here he thinks, however, the claim that it was a false flag is wrong. He talks about pro-Israel propaganda lies versus reality. Another week has now passed. The entire world suddenly abandoned by the huge raid. New developments have merely continued and confirmed a situation he'd already described. Back in 2011, Israel freed over 1,000 imprisoned Palestinians in exchange for a single captured soldier. So a key goal of the Hamas attack has been gaining the freedom of many thousands of captive Palestinians by seizing some Israelis as bargaining chips. The effort succeeded beyond all expectation, with more than 200 Israeli soldiers and civilians taken back to Gaza as prisoners. Israel had invested hundreds of millions in advanced technology to guard the border, but Hamas disabled the systems he's claiming using inexpensive small drones and highly innovative tactics, thereby inflicting a hugely humiliating defeat upon the Jewish state. Mossad was widely regarded as one of the world's best intel services, and the Israeli military had the same reputation for its prowess in combat. But despite a year of careful planning and preparation, Hamas seemed to have achieved total tactical surprise, while the local Israeli garrison bases were easily overrun, none of their sentries on duty and alert. As a result, IDF suffered up to 600 dead in a matter of hours at the hands of lightly armed militants, probably the worst one-day combat losses of any of Israel's many wars. Hundreds of thousands of Israeli citizens have now been evacuated. For decades, pro-Israeli propaganda has been unsurpassed in its reach and efficacy. The astonishing mismatch between such boastful claims and the reality of Hamas' remarkable military success quickly prompted conspiratorial speculations across the internet. For months, Netanyahu's government had been facing enormous public protests, bitterly dividing Israeli society, so quite a number of prominent voices in both pro-Israel and anti-Israel camps suggested Netanyahu had deliberately permitted the Hamas attack in the hope that such a Pearl Harbor 9/11 would unify the country and salvage his shaky political position. I take that to be 100% true, but Ron Unz declares, I have sharply challenged the logical plausibility of such false flag theories, but their adherents remain unconvinced. Many commentators ridicule me for my naivete, arguing the major Hamas victory had obviously been an inside job by the Israeli government. But I think subsequent political developments have almost eliminated that possibility. He goes on to make those claims. But here was a very early report. This was the morning of the attack. This is a woman who had been an IAF member. Listen to what she has to say.
October 7th, 2023. This is Afat Fenningson, and I'm here to share an update from Israel-Hamas war, which started this morning. I'm going to share some key details and concerns, mostly based on Israeli citizens' voices from the ground and based on official statements. This is a very tough day for me and for us in Israel, and it is tough for people of Palestine too, especially now that Israel is starting to attack back. This war and every war is a horrible thing for everyone involved, except for those who get rich from it, right? This morning, around 6 a.m., around sunrise, hundreds of Hamas terrorists, at least 300, breached the border fence in multiple places, completely unimpeded, leading to terror attacks and kidnappings in Israeli towns or villages. The terrorists infiltrated a significant number of dry land outposts, as well as a naval infiltration point in Zikin. As we speak, Israel is actively engaged in combat in 22 outposts. This is from the IDF statement, the official statement. The attacks have already resulted in over 100 casualties and more than 100 kidnaps of Israeli citizens. In one village, 50 Israelis have been taken hostage, leaving people locked in shelters for long periods of 8 to 9 hours without rescue. By the way, the 100 kidnappings is not the official number. It's what we hear from people on the ground. I think official numbers talk about 30 or 40 people, but we know there are more. In some places, the terrorists were burning the village and people didn't know if to leave the shelter and surrender or stay and pray for the fire to not reach them. Many young people who were in a big outdoor party near the Gaza envelope villages were attacked there. Some ran away, some were injured, and some are still missing. Apparently, Israeli defense forces that were supposed to be around Gaza were placed around the West Bank because of security concerns, so that the Gaza envelope was left unoccupied with military. They say around 60 to 80% of that area was left without the IDF forces that were supposed to be there. Soldiers are being recruited for reserves as we speak from this morning, but because of stupid reasons such as no public transport, they're waiting hours to get to the bases. Mainstream media, this is an interesting point, apparently admits that IDF spokesperson is forbidding them to tell the complete truth about what's happening, highlighting a lack of transparency. And this is to the Israeli citizens. I'm not even talking about overseas. I'm talking about to the people of Israel here. For hours and hours, the reports that came from the mainstream media were completely lacking, and people started to rely mostly on the news from each other, from people on the ground. Only now, 6 p.m. Israel time, or it's actually 7 already, 12 hours after the event started, we received the first formal statement from the IDF spokesperson, and I will include an article with that statement in the notes. A year ago, there was a military operation in Gaza to prepare for such events, and ongoingly, there are trainings for these kind of scenarios. This raises serious questions for me, anyway, about Israeli intelligence. What happened? 2 years ago, there was a successful deployment of underground barriers with sensors to alert exactly on these kind of terrorist breaches. Israel has one of the most advanced and high-tech armies. How come there was zero response to the border and fence breaching? I cannot understand that. Personally, I served in the IDF 25 years ago in the intelligence forces. There's no way, in my view, that Israel did not know of what's coming. A cat moving alongside the fence is triggering all forces. So this? What happened to the strongest army in the world? How come border crossings were wide open? Something is very wrong here. Something is very strange. This chain of events is very unusual and not typical for the Israeli defense system. With the recent normalization efforts of Israel and Palestine led by Saudi Arabia, I wonder whether a prisoners exchange deal is something that could only be seriously considered by Israel if a shocking event like that happened. Is it a possibility that only with Israel hostages it can be justified to release dangerous prisoners from Israeli prisons? I don't know. Mainstream media reported that deputy Hamas leader
Let me say there's much more of what she has to say. Here's another IDF guy says the whole thing obviously had to be an inside job. And the very idea that Israel would need help from America is frankly absurd.
The Gaza militia to invade Israel's borders, kill thousands, take back hostages completely unopposed. Like I said, this is not a video I wanted to do. This is not something, and oh, by the way, now America is coming with aid? Do you really think Israel needs American aid to fight Gaza? Gaza! Their most elite force, their air force is hang gliders, and their ground troops are pickup trucks. They don't even have a tank. And we need American aid to, Israel needs American aid to fight them? Are you fucking serious? You don't think that there's anything fishy going on here? You really trust the IDF to send in all these reservists into Gaza, the same people who, A, didn't see this coming, or the alternative, which is much worse, They're so incompetent, they can't even handle a couple of pickup trucks and hang gliders invading their border, killing thousands and taking hostages for 7 hours, practically unopposed, and able to go back.
Let me say, Danny, I'm very admiring of Ron Hoons, but he sure got this wrong. I don't think there's any possibility that this was not a false flag. It's become absolutely standard. Meanwhile, there's massive propaganda. It's nice he brings out all the stories. 40 Biebers murdered by Hamas. This was a Holocaust, pure and simple, talking about Hamas. Hamas massacres babies and children. That's from the Daily Telegraph. The other, the Daily Mail. Here's the London Times. Hamas cut the throats of babies and massacre. Here's the Sun. Mummy, help me. The Daily Express. Horror, pure evil, beheading of babies. All complete bullshit. Danny, give me your thoughts, my friend, about the false flag here, because we're going to turn to one right here in the USA. Your thoughts, Danny.
Well, sir, we covered a lot of that in the last report. And, you know, I see Operation Mockingbird working extremely hard here to put forward a narrative that we can show is not true and did show. So, again, we're not on the ground, but a lot of the reports are coming out all over the Internet about the babies and not happening. And we're also hearing that the hang glider thing, or whatever you want to call that, it was a complete fabrication as well. So, again, we're not seeing any video. We're not seeing anything. And I just find it very strange in the active days of so many cell phone videos. Everybody has a cell phone, even there in Israel, they have with cameras. And we should be seeing a lot more footage being uploaded online of these attacks. We should be seeing Danny, a lot more of it.
Danny, hold those thoughts. We'll be right back after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. The the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny, we've been reviewing a large-scale false flag that could have the potential to initiate World War III. Let's turn our attention to a small scale that happened in Maine. We begin with a report. Maine shooting suspect found dead of self-inflicted gunshot wound. Robert Card, a shooting suspect in Wednesday's attacks that left 18 dead in Lewiston, Maine, was found dead of a reported self-inflicted gunshot Friday night. Details on his death are scant, but WCVB indicated the Androscoggin County Sheriff's Office announced the suspect in Wednesday night shooting had been located and is deceased. A manhunt's been underway since Wednesday night with various police departments in Maine from other states, FBI, federal agencies. They noted he used a 308 sniper rifle legally purchased. Questions on how he purchased legally as he was taken to a West Point hospital for evaluation in mid-July of 2023. Two questions specifically. One, did Card's mental evaluation at West Point Hospital in mid-July 2023 not reach the level of an involuntary commitment? Or two, did someone drop the ball in reporting an involuntary commitment to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System to prevent passage of a background check? Now, as you observe, Danny, we had reports right off the bat. NBC, 22 shot in Lewiston, Maine, suspected large white man with AR-15, no video, no witnesses, only a photo and a story by the media. Police looking for the suspect. We were warned, a false flag coming to distract the public. Here it is. Here we have a first video. This is a report of breaking news. Check it out.
NBC's Liz Kreutz is with us now. Liz, bring us up to speed as much as you can. Obviously, things are moving very, very quickly here, but we're looking to you to give us the latest. What do you know?
Hey, yeah, obviously this is unfolding right now, and the details coming in are very sad. We know now from police that at least 22 people have been killed. Dozens of people are injured. Police say that a gunman opened fire in at least three different locations, one of them a bowling alley. And we were looking on Facebook at that bowling alley, and it looks like a place that kids and families would gather. The hospital, the main central Maine Medical Center, is saying that this is a mass casualty event that they are responding to. Law enforcement, again, saying that this shooter went to three different locations and that gunman is still on the loose. They did release a picture of a suspect, a pretty scary picture of a man there holding a rifle. And that man, the gunman, is still on the loose right now. This has prompted a shelter-in-place order in Lewiston and the surrounding areas. Residents there have been told to shelter in place, to lock their doors, to not leave their homes as this manhunt gets underway. We know that the ATF Boston is now responding. A White House official says that President Biden has been briefed. The governor of Maine has also been briefed and is monitoring and telling people to heed the warnings, heed that shelter-in-place order, and stay inside. So again, this is in Lewiston, Maine, about 45 minutes north of Portland, Maine, for some reference. It's a evolving situation right now, but police are saying that at least 22 people have been killed, dozens more injured, and yet another mass shooting here in the U.S., Jake.
Thanks for watching. Stay updated about break.
And of course, another last shooting. Meanwhile, we have the manhunt for the gunmen in Maine. Democrats call for a ban on assault rifles and magazines. Perfect timing, you observe. Supreme Court has been overturning their assault weapon ban. Many cases set to be heard the next day on cue. Here we go, this time from Fox.
Happening right now, 24 hours after we first showed you a mass shooting in Maine, the FBI right now has surrounded the home of the trained gunman as the manhunt intensifies. Fox News' Max Deepnight is following these developments, Max.
Yeah, Mandy, that's right. Now, police have not said if 40-year-old Robert Card is inside of his home. As she mentioned, they have that home surrounded. We're following their updates closely. But for now, let's take a look back at what we've learned so far. Federal, state, and local officials spent the entire day Thursday searching for 40-year-old Robert Card of Bowdoin, Maine. Police say the mass shooting event started around 7 p.m. Wednesday when Card shot up a bowling alley and then nearby bar in Lewiston, Maine, Maine's second largest city. That's about 30 miles north of Portland. He killed at least 18 people and injured 13 others. Card's white Subaru was found at a boat ramp around 10 p.m. Wednesday. Card, a firearms instructor and longtime member of the Army Reserve, received psychiatric treatment over the summer after commanders became concerned over his mental state. Maine's governor says they will not stop until they bring Card to justice.
We cannot and we will not rest in this endeavor.
Maine Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins called it the worst mass shooting in Maine's history. The state's other senator, an independent, is calling for a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines.
High-capacity magazines. That's what enables a shooter in a case like this to just keep on shooting.
Recently released FBI crime data shows Maine ranked the safest state in the nation in terms of violent crime in 2022. According to state police, last year, Maine recorded 29 murders. It's why residents say they're so shocked tonight.
You see it everywhere else, but you never think it's going to hit home. It's scary. You know, I mean, it's got everybody nervous.
And President Biden ordered all flags to be flown at half staff Thursday. Stay with Fox 2 for updates, Mandy.
Well, Danny, go ahead. Give us your preliminary thoughts about the original coverage, the absence of photographs that show a crime was actually committed. I mean, it's embarrassing. You look at these videos and you see a photograph of a car. You see a couple of cops standing around. You don't even have an ambulance here to show they were taking away any of the wounded or dead, Danny. It's embarrassingly bad, but that's how these things are done. Your thoughts?
Well, this one, sir, is very embarrassing, like you said. And, you know, my assessment is this is, to quote you, is complete BS. You know, there's no evidence at all. This looks almost like this one was kind of thrown together haphazard, sort of last minute. They don't have any video, one shred a video to show us. And I would like to use some critical thinking skills here, sir, to pull another page from your book. Okay, if any of this happened inside of a hospital, as they say, you know, there's so many reports on this in the different areas. They're full of surveillance video everywhere. Okay, every hospital is loaded with surveillance video. All right, police responding full of body cameras. Everybody has body cameras, including in Maine. And of course, every human being has a cell phone with video on it. And we can't see one frame of video from any source anywhere in the entire state of Maine on this guy. Okay, all we see are a couple of photos that they've posted, two or three images. And those images look actually like two different men. The one guy holding the rifle, and then the image that the news is showing is definitely two different guys. If you analyze them, one's much heavier than the other person. The eyes are different. The nose is different to me. There's definitely distinct differences in some of the images that they're posting. So that to me is a concern. But the fact that we don't have any video whatsoever, and we can't see any of this, we can't even hear sound of you know, somebody running with video, or we can hear the sounds of this supposed AR-10 or AR-15. They keep changing. Some of the reports called it an AR-15. So the AR-15 is the smaller version that would shoot primarily the 5.56 round, which is the main round that the military normally uses. Then the AR-10 is the 308 version, has a larger 30 caliber bullet. And that is less common, and it's a heavier gun. But we're hearing images of both, that he had both. So which one is it? Is it the AR-15? Is it the AR-10? They can't seem to make up their mind. It's just very troubling, sir. When I look at the image or the name, so I ran the name through the background, and there's only, you know, there's a few possibilities in the state with that name. But, of course, a few of them are dead, and the other ones don't live in that state. And I cannot ID or find this particular person and put his name, his face, and his records. The two that I found are the closest are alive and well and don't live there. So, again, there's some mystery there. Again, every time we see these false flags, it's like, you know, why is it that I can't find that person? I should be able to find him. I should be able to find his house. I should be able to find everything about him. But yet again, when they show these criminals on television and I run those, for some reason, when they're real, I can find them. I find their rap sheet. I can find everything about them pretty quickly. But in this case, I can't find the guy, and I can't verify everything that the media is giving us on him. So, sir, this has all the makings of a false flag. Other experts have analyzed this, too. I'd like to point out former Navy SEAL Michael Jaco has done a very detailed analysis, calling out all the markers, showing how this is a false flag with a lot of the anomalies that we're talking about.
Danny, I got his video here lined up. But look, I've gone back to the initial main shooting suspect found dead, and it shows up photographs of two very different people. I mean, it is clear. As you say, this guy with a gun coming out of the bowling alley has a whole head of hair. He's got very white skin. He's got, one shape of head. The guy we have the other superimposed, he doesn't look at all the same. He's got different hair. I mean, the configuration around his forehead is different. The face, the appearance, I think you nailed it, Danny. They're not even the same guy. So here we have breaking. How Maine's gun laws compared to other states. Maine has the weakest gun laws in the country. Democrats call for new gun control laws in Maine. Breaking, no permits required to carry firearms. Roughly half of all households have no guns. This is actually an article. I'll read parts of it. Maine, where a mass shooting that killed at least 16 has taken place, has among the weakest gun laws in the country, according to scorecards compiled by several anti-gun, they say anti-gun violence, but they're really anti-gun organizations. A gunman carrying an assault-style weapon opened fire at Schlemigi's Bar and Grill Restaurant and at the Maritime Recreational Bowling Alley in Lewiston, Maine, Wednesday night, also wounding dozens of people, according to the AP. The suspect is identified as former military officer Robert Card, was still at large as early as Friday. And they threw in a photograph, Peter Ambler. This is on Twitter. And get the way they dramatically fashion this. Chilling photo, AR-15 scope, tactical gear, at least 22 dead, many more shot. We should all be outraged, but we should not be shocked. Increasingly, this image is what the gun industry sells. They market assault rifles and conspiracy theories and profit off the violence. Danny, such bullshit. Meanwhile, we have a congressman reversing course on gun control after mass shooting in hometown says he takes responsibility for this failure. Media has shown different photos. Looks like a different guy in each. Here's his hometown Democrat Jared Golden. Called his past opposition to gun reform legislation a failure. Following the horrific mass shooting in his hometown of Lewiston, Maine, that killed at least 8 and seriously injured scores more of his constituents, Danny, I've explained, Americans use guns to protect themselves from assailants millions of times every single year, saving an estimated 200,000 American lives per annum, 200,000. The total that die from gun violence annually is about 75,000. More than half of those are from suicide, self-inflicted. So you got around 30, 35,000 who die from gun violence. It's mostly gangs in cities like Chicago and Los Angeles and Detroit, you know, where the Democrats have such stringent gun laws against civilians that they can go around and perpetrate crimes without having any hesitation and fear that someone is going to have a concealed carry to take them out. So the Democrats are promoting policies that encourage gun violence. They're not doing a damn thing to reduce it. And their arguments are all based upon the simple but false proposition that more guns, more gun violence. But it turns out precisely the opposite is the case, and that is true worldwide. We had a very interesting experience in Brazil lately when they had a high homicide rate. And then they got a new president. He loosened up the gun laws and the homicide dropped precipitously. This is true worldwide. So Democrats are on the wrong side of this issue 100%. But if you take guns away from Americans, we're not going to be able to protect ourselves from our tyrannical government or the invading hordes where the government has purchased $1 billion-plus worth of military equipment. This is agencies that have no connection to law enforcement or the military, the IRS, the EPA, which I submit are stored in caches around the country now to give them cell phones to find where they can locate those weapons to use against us, the American people. But they want to make sure we can't put up a fight. So let's take the guns away from Americans and make us sitting ducks. Danny.
Well, sir, I agree with what you said, and this is nothing more. We're seeing the usual suspects here and the propaganda. You can see some of the reporters. One guy got on there and right away went after the 10-round magazine and said, well, if we could just limit the magazines, to 10 rounds, then we can stop these mass shootings, right? So what they're doing is, sir, is they're using incrementalism, which is very popular amongst the elite, to go after threats to them. And the big threat is, of course, is of the militia forms, you know, with hundreds of men armed up. You know, they can basically roll over and abolish anything that they want to abolish. And they've been doing this for years, sir. They always go after the number one gun in the United States, which is the AR-15 M4, which is pretty much one of the guns that's used in the military. Different version, though. They have the fully automatic version, civilians being the semi-automatic version. But even like in states like California, you know, they've done everything they can to try to dismember the gun. And what I mean by that is they limited the round count. Then for a while, they had a special button on the gun that you had to put on it to actually change the magazine to render the gun inoperable after you ran out of ammunition. Then after that, they banned that having that button, and then they made it so the magazine actually had to be locked into the rifle. So in other words, basically when the gun was empty, you had to throw it on the ground and grab another gun because you weren't able to take the magazine out and reload it without either taking the weapon apart to take the magazine and put another one in. I mean, you just keep going after it. They banned the grip on the gun and made it so it's difficult to hold. You can't have a certain grip on the gun. I mean, it's just they just are going after the parts on the gun one by one to try and say, well, you know, if you have the wrong part on your gun, you're a felon, you're going to jail for the rest of your life, trying to scare everybody into having this gun. And I'm going to say it again, sir, we've talked about it, but this gun is the number one gun for the reason. It's very small, lightweight. In most cases, it weighs under 6 pounds. Anybody can operate it. It's extremely accurate, and it's very good for self-protection. And I'd like to point out that when Obama was president, he had gotten he was arming different departments, federal agencies all around the country that had nothing to do with law enforcement. He was arming Social Security and, you know, just a whole host of different offices around the country, federal offices, with weapons. And if you read the order that he put together, what he called these weapons when he was giving them to him, he not only did he give them the Class 3 fully automatic version with a selector switch that turned them into a machine gun, but what he was doing is he was calling them personal defense weapons. Okay, and on there it said, we're handing this out because they need personal defense weapons just in case. So I want to draw everybody's attention to that lingo, if you will, because here's the simplicity of how it works. Let's say, for instance, and I really want people to focus on this. Let's say, for instance, that there's two guys standing there having a conversation. I'm one and you're the other, okay? And let's say I work for the federal government and you do not, all right? So all of a sudden, I'm holding an AR-15 in my hand, okay? And Obama will simply, in the media, will call it a personal defense weapon because I actually, my paycheck, I work for the federal government. Now, that same weapon is a personal defense weapon, and it was issued to me in case I need to defend myself, right? It's a personal defense weapon. I hand the weapon to you. I just hand it to you. So here we go. Here's the handoff. Now you're holding it in your hand. You just want to take a look at. Well, now the media transforms the name. And now when it's in your hands and you're holding it, it is now called an assault weapon. Okay. Now you hand it back to me. Now it's called a personal defense weapon. So they play around with the words and how they do this to create optics to shape a narrative. When it's in the hands of civilians, they call it an assault rifle, and in reality, they have them to protect themselves. And when it's in the hands of the government, they call it a personal defense weapon. Yet nobody's attacking the government. What happens is the government attacks the people with the gun. So they got this completely, sir, backwards on the names. This is nothing more than a big propaganda show. No video, no evidence of any shooting, no ambulances, no nothing. And then conveniently, after a few days of holding the country hostage, the guy mysteriously has a self-inflicted gunshot wound in some house somewhere that we can't verify, and this whole thing's over, and we're never going to be able to find out what happened.
Now, Danny, you also sent me a video of a real shooting. Man shoots police with assault rifle, clear video evidence, not a peep from the Mockingbird media. This report is 100% real, ask yourself. Why isn't this national news? Where is the media? They only blow up the fake false flag. Never these real shooting. Why is that? Watch closely the video. Here it is. Dash cam footage. Walking forward. Cop goes back because he's racing away. Going after him. Danny, you talk about it.
We're now getting
a... Yeah, you can see a state patrolman. He's chasing two suspects
that are on the run. Injured, one suspect killed, and
you can see the rifle sticking out the window there as he tries to catch them on the highway. There's one of the officers hiding from the gunfire. You'll see bullets actually hit the windshield. He's just armed with a handgun, so he doesn't have a rifle.
In Carroll County, Georgia, west of Atlanta. That's where a Georgia State Patrol trooper stopped a Nissan Sentra driving more than 100 miles per hour along the interstate.
Of course, there's a high-speed chase. There's two suspects they're going after.
Investigators later determined the driver was Aaron Shelton. His cousin, Pierre Shelton, was in the passenger seat. As dash camera video shows, at first, the driver doesn't stop for the trooper. Eventually, though, the car pulls to the side of the road.
Here's the traffic stop.
But when the trooper gets out to approach the Nissan, it speeds off.
Should I move forward on this one, Danny? It's a fairly long.
Now, if you speed it, I don't know if you want to speed this up, sir.
Attempts to outline.
Here we go. Here he's got it stopped.
Speed up a little bit more.
Good. Bankhead Highway. Dispatch, we're going 60. You got Grandy Connor, you got where to go.
Wow. Wow.
Right there, there's an officer shot. He crashes. Right there. Keep it right there.
Captured by another officer's dash cam.
So what happened is there was a lucky shot from a moving car that struck the officer. He crashed. You'll see him hit the pole there.
Yeah. Wow.
As the crime unfolds, video shows officers.
So they're being shot at by this vehicle.
Behind parked squad cars.
Be right for this.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Here we got another of a, what, that was a black guy shooting, what, two or three cops? I mean, that's really bad. Here we got a white guy supposed to be shooting black people in a Dollar General show in Jackson. The black police chief says a shooter had an AR-15 and hated black people. No body cam footage, no surveillance, no cell phone, no witnesses, just a media story about a white guy with no criminal record who moved from out of state. He wrote a manifesto on how he hated black people, went out and bought an AR-15, moved to a black neighborhood in Jacksonville, Florida, so he could go to the Dollar General store to shoot some black people. Daddy, it's just absurd. Let's see how this...
Breaking news in Jacksonville, Florida, where there are multiple fatalities following a standoff between a gunman and police at a Dollar General store. CBS's Michael George is tracking developments. Michael.
Scott, good evening. Law enforcement officials say the shooter is a white male in his 20s who is motivated by hate. All three victims in this shooting were black. The shooting happened at a Dollar General store in the northwest part of the city in the middle of the day. Jacksonville authorities say the suspect killed two males and one female before turning the gun on himself.
Plainly put, the shooting was racially motivated and he hated black people.
The sheriff says the shooter put on a mask and tactical vest in the parking lot.
The weapons that the shooter used today are a Glock and an AR-15 style rifle.
He left behind multiple messages, which authorities say amounted to an ideology of hate.
It's just something that should not and must not continue to happen in our community.
This comes in the midst of a weekend wave of gun violence. Today in Boston, at least seven people were shot during the city's annual Caribbean Carnival. Two suspects have been arrested.
What is going on?
In Oklahoma last night, players and fans rushed for cover when shots were fired at a high school football game.
Oh my goodness.
A 16-year-old boy was killed. No suspects arrested. And in Chicago, two women were shot and wounded in the stands at a White Sox game last night. And back to that unfolding situation in Jacksonville. The FBI is investigating it as a hate crime, and a federal civil rights investigation is also underway. Scott?
Danny, I didn't see any evidence whatsoever there. I saw some vehicles, that sort of thing, which is meaningless evidentially as to indicating that something had actually happened. Your thoughts about Jacksonville?
Well, sir, I wanted to just back up for 1 second, if I could. You did
sure.
Show the footage during the break
of the
other shooting, and you can see the suspect, the officer ducks off into the woods because he's taking fire, and all he has is his handgun. But the suspect doesn't see the officer back up and go into the woods. He walks right across the front of the hood He's holding an AK-47. You can see the rounds striking the windshield. And obviously, he was trying to take that officer out. He was trying to flank him and hit him from the woods, and he walks right by. So, of course, as soon as we see that image of the suspects, all the media trucks turn around and say, "Up, stop it, stop it. The event's over." And
because he's black.
We have a black felon, right? So we have a real criminal, convicted felon that was let out of prison that is not allowed to have a weapon, right? We have him shooting at police, actually shooting and killing police. And since it's real and he's black, we have no story. We have no CNN, no MSNBC. All of a sudden, up, up, up. We don't want to talk about this, right? And all the news trucks turn around and we don't want to talk about it, right? The other story that you were showing in Jacksonville, sir, that is one of the most absurd reports I've ever seen. It came across as a really bloody weekend. They showed a bunch of shootings that happened around the country, the one in the football stadium, there are different ones around, and they were all committed by black felons. I want to point that out again. They were all committed by black felons that were not allowed to have firearms. So there were so many black crime after black crime after black crime after black crime that they threw in the token white crime in Jacksonville, Florida. And what was really funny about that whole narrative, I don't know if you can show the photo, but I sent you the photo of the supposed suspect. And he looks like he might be the leader of the chess club at your local college. His little chubby cheeks.
Mild-mannered.
70s haircut. And they're trying to tell us that's the shooter. The narrative on this, sir, is that we have this perfectly good white guy, right, from another state. He's not from Florida. They don't want to tell us what state. They're telling us that he's in his 20s, but they won't give us his age, and that he had just been really upset at black people, according to the chief, all right, and he wrote a manifesto. Now, in the manifesto, according to the chief, who was nice enough to read us little excerpts of it, is that this particular guy had just snapped and didn't like white people. So he was going to move to Florida and buy an AR-15 and move to a black city in Florida for the sole purpose of throwing away his life and going to the Dollar General that store that day to shoot three black people. That was his purpose in life. And that he put this in this manifesto that he was going to do all this. Keep in mind, this is a guy that had no criminal history, right? No criminal history whatsoever. And he just snapped and decided he hated black people. What's really interesting is the chief said at first that he was going to release the manifesto. And then again, of course, he never did. And nobody's allowed to read this manifesto, the chief said. So, you know, all these things about how he hates black people and decided. What's really interesting about that, sir, is that in a Dollar General store, there's nothing but surveillance video. And then supposedly when he left the Dollar General store, this guy that attacked the police as well got into the shootout with his tactical gear and all this. What's really funny is all the police there have body cameras. Okay, they all do. And we would see some video of the police shooting just like we saw in the past shooting. We were watching the other one that was real. And we can see body cam footage. We see car camera footage. We can actually see the shooting happening. But in this massive shootout that supposedly took place in Jacksonville, according to the police chief and the manifesto story, we can't see one shred of surveillance video. We can't see one shred of body camera footage. We can't see anything. All we have is the chief standing up there nicely telling us a version of this story about this white kid that moved to Florida to commit these acts on black people. Absolutely the most ridiculous narrative, sir, I've ever heard. Not one shred of evidence. And they ran this report. It's like, God, we better come up with a white guy with an AR-15 crime here, because they showed black crime after black crime after black crime. And each one of those, we see the evidence of the shooting. We can actually see the shooting taking place. But when we get to the white crime, we can't see anything. So I'm really tired of this narrative, sir. You can easily see what they're doing here. It's totally obvious. They needed to come up with a story. They just made one up out of thin air, and they spun it with Operation Mockingbird in the media, and they expect the whole public to believe it. It's amazing. Every time it's the white guy, there's nothing but hundreds of news trucks, and we see spotlights everywhere, and they make it a national news story. But when it's a black crime, all of a sudden it just dies off, and that's it. No, nothing to see here. And I'm really tired of that narrative, sir.
Here's Michael Jaco calling out the main mass shooting having the markings of a falsified gun grab. Targeting gun owners, don't fall for it. I'll play a part.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Jaco with Unleashing Intuition Seekers. Let's jump right into it because we have a lot to cover. We have, you know, the shooting that happened up in Maine. Totally looks like a false flag. We're going to start to see lots of conflicting information. It's going to bounce around, and this is a total indicator of false flags. I'm already starting to see that death numbers are bouncing all over the place. No one get this right, and the guy is still on the loose. It's just like, no, that's not possible for someone to do a mass casualty event and just disappear, right? All right, so that's kind of where we're at. They're going to try and, you know, play this, probably do the, if they haven't already, do the, oh, we need to get rid of guns. All right, because they know that we have guns and we're not going to let them take our country, and we're probably going to push back on them pretty soon. So they want to take those, they're desperate to take those guns. Now, we saw something like this in Paris. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to share the screen and we're going to jump into this. Now, gematria, we'll talk about that as well. The numbers, you know, you look at the, whenever one of these things comes up, you start to look at the numbers, and you start to see the different things, and we'll talk about that as well. We'll talk about the economy. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. So you definitely want to watch this show and share it because we need to wake up some of these people out there, and even the, I don't know, maybe even the NPCs, the non-player characters that are out there, just kind of like, you know, taking up space. It feels that way with a lot of people now. So let's look at what we have.
Danny, do you want to go with this? Shall I run a little more?
Out of the way.
Well, you could go ahead and shut that off, sir.
Yeah.
Bring up.
Yeah, go ahead, Danny.
What I wanted to talk about, sir, if we have time, is I want everybody to critical think here for a minute, okay? These high-profile cases now, sir, they know that there's people out there like you, like Michael Jaco, okay, that are going to pick these things apart because there is no evidence. It's just a story. If you think about it, Operation Mockingbird in the media can make anything possible. They can show a photograph of an alien from a movie and a craft, which we have caught them doing, by the way, where they show an alien broke down on the side of the road. I forgot what that story was, but as the car was driving down the road, there was a spaceship on the side of the road with an alien there. They pulled that footage. I couldn't believe they played that on the national news. But they can show anything and then put a story to it, and then the world has to believe it. Like Richard Nixon, President Richard Nixon said, the American people will believe anything as long as they see it on TV or on television. And you know what? He couldn't have been more right. They can put any story on television, and because everybody's working 50, 60 hours a week, most people, they come home and watch a few sound bites for a few minutes before they get to their sitcoms or whatever else they're going to watch, and they just assume that the news is telling them the truth, which they don't understand is complete propaganda, and they're faking it. You know, it's complete BS, and none of this is happening. This Florida shooting was such a con job. With this manifesto and this, I mean, they just went way too over elaborate to try and sell us that this chubby white kid moved out of state. And then to think, you know what, shouldn't we have video of the shootout or in the surveillance in the store? Shouldn't we have some cell phone footage of somebody to see one or two images of this guy holding the gun and walking around with a rifle? And where's the police body camera footage? Every cop on that team has a body camera, and yet we can't see them engaging the suspect. We can't see nothing, can't even hear gunfire, not one shred of evidence. And then we move to the other one that was real, and we have plenty of video showing it's real. We have video of the rifle going off, bullets striking, the window, totally real. But then the media doesn't want to cover that because the suspect is black. I just find it ridiculous. Then they come up with the latest story in Maine where they just show us two images, okay? And they show multiple images of the suspect as they play these stories, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, it goes on. And each one of them seems to be showing a different image of a different man. I mean, I'm swear, which guy is it? Is it this guy that did it? Or is it this guy? It's very clear. You showed two of them, sir. Those are definitely distinctive, two different people. You don't even have to be a professional to know that those are not the same people. Yet I can't believe somebody in the newsroom didn't say, hey, we're showing the wrong image here. You know, we keep changing up the story. Then they said first it was an AR-15. Then they changed it to an AR-10. Then they said he was 40 years old. Then there's reports where he said he's 52 years old. Well, which one is it? Is he 40? Is he 52? Maybe that depends on what picture they're showing. Maybe they're referring to one guy's 52 on one picture, another guy's 40.
How dumb are we supposed to be? Here's another report about the shooting suspect found dead. Then you can't question him and expose that he's a total fraud. Here it is, Danny.
Fox News has now confirmed that the suspect in the Maine mass shooting, Robert Card, has been found dead. We're going to have a lot more on this later in the show. But before we get back to it, let me give you a few of the details. They're a little sketchy at this time. All 18 victims have now been identified by authorities. Shelter-in-place order, as everyone knows, has been lifted. Among them was a married couple in their 70s, a father and a 14-year-old son, four adults associated with the Maine Educational Center for the Deaf, a gun.
This is the pathos, you know. God, he killed somebody who was associated with the Maine Association for the Deaf. I mean, Danny, this is pathetic. This is supposed to make our hearts bleed. How insulting is this?
Well, the only thing Hannity got right there is when he said the details are a little sketchy.
Yeah.
You think they're sketchy, sir? I mean, you know, there are no details. They can't show us one, not even nothing. They show an actor holding a rifle, right? That's it. And then they show this picture, which is a different actor or a different guy. For all we know, this picture's 20 years old or even 3 years old. He died of COVID. We don't know who this guy is, okay? But he's a different guy from the image of the guy that's holding the rifle. It's not the same guy. You can see the video. It's very clear. Why can't we have some video of this instead of a still image? Why can't we see this guy walking around with rounds coming out of the gun, seeing shells ejected while shooting targets? We can't see anything, nothing. You mean the cops that went in the end when he was supposedly dead? Nobody had body cameras with him?
The shelter.
I'm back to Hannity just so we can appreciate what he's doing here.
Was a married couple in their 70s, a father.
Married couple in their 70s.
Son, four adults associated with the Maine Educational Center for the Deaf. A gun, note, cell phone belonging to the suspect found earlier today by the police. Divers, sonar equipment searched the river near where the suspect's car was found abandoned Wednesday night near where apparently he had a boat.
Chloe, the different guy here, Danny.
I guess sometime early tomorrow morning and going forward. Anyway,
that's
police.
Different guy.
I know.
The many, many hundreds of tips from people around them. But let me repeat, the suspect in this main shooting has now been confirmed as dead. We'll have more details to follow throughout the night. Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click.
And then you note the reason they pulled the Maine false flag, they are losing their assault weapon bans. The Supreme Court Second Amendment decision brings an end to assault weapon bans. So this is a fairly detailed discussion about it, Danny. Why don't you just give us an overview? Because this guy is so technical, it's a little tedious to hear. Just give us a summary.
What he is, he's called the armed scholar. He's an attorney and a firearms attorney. So he follows gun laws in every state in the union, sir. His sole purpose and his sole job is firearms and what's going on in the firearm industry. And he's extremely astute, and he is very technical. But basically what he's talking about is that all the cases have come up to the Supreme Court that they're overturning on their so-called assault weapons ban. And the thing is, if you think about it, sir, how do you define what an assault weapon is? You can call anything an assault weapon. If I have a butter knife in my hand, okay, just a butter knife, and I'm a civilian, okay, and I stab somebody with it, now it's an assault butter knife, right? That's an assault knife. That's not just a butter knife. Now it's an assault knife. If I hand it to you and you're a government employee, now it's a personal defense knife, see, because you work for the government. So you can basically call a vehicle an assault vehicle if you run somebody over with it, right? You could take a school bus and call it an assault vehicle if somebody in the school bus runs over a bunch of civilians with it. It never ends with the terms that they try to label on all these things. There's really no such thing as an assault rifle, okay? It's a rifle, and it's used for protection. It depends on who's operating the rifle and whose hands it's in and what they're using it for. When it's in a criminal's hands and they're robbing and they're stealing, or if it's in the, you know, civilian's hands and they're preventing somebody from breaking into their home and they're protecting their family with it, that's really when they should call it a personal defense weapon. But again, when it's in the civilian's hands, they call it an assault rifle or assault weapon. And when they put it in the government's hands, they call it a personal defense weapon, which is totally ridiculous. But the armed scholar points out, sir, that one after another, the Supreme Court has been knocking down all their bans, the 10-round magazine, the locking of the gun so you can't change the ammo, the parts. You know, it just goes on, and they're losing, sir. They're finally, the cases are making themselves up to the Supreme Court. And you know what? The elite are getting desperate because they're losing all their bans. So what do? There's another couple of pending cases coming up to the Supreme Court, and they throw out the AR-15 story to try and pressure the court and saying, hey, look, you better not overturn our bans because, look, there's a crazed guy here in Maine that just snapped. He's a former military guy, and we don't know why, but he's going crazy with his AR-15 training. He's a white guy. And they're trying to suggest, sir, that anybody that's white could at any moment, okay, any moment snap. For any reason, maybe his favorite football team lost today, so he's going to grab his AR-15, go down to the local bowling alley and shoot it up, right? Maybe his hockey team lost. I mean, it's one thing after another, but they're obviously trying to say that any normal, regular person, former military, firearms instructor, totally normal life, all of a sudden, he's just upset and he hits the streets with his AR-15. And because every white guy in the country could be upset at any moment. Maybe he gets in a fight with his wife, okay, or his neighbor. He could snap at any moment and grab his AR-15 and go out in the public and wreak havoc. And because that could happen, we need everybody in the country to turn in their AR-15 because we can't take that chance, sir. There might be a day that you might be upset and you might take retribution. So just in case, we need to ban them. So that can't happen. It's just such a stupid narrative. They're losing every single court case, sir. And this is just another example. They think we're that stupid, sir.
Danny, that's just been a brilliant dissection of what's going on. I think they're going to have a reason to declare martial law. And when they declare martial law, they're going to round up all the domestic terrorists. And that includes Trump supporters, conservative voices, you know, skeptics of January 6th. It includes you, it includes me, it includes the host. We're going to be subjected to summary execution. They don't want us to be able to defend ourselves when it happens. That's a great way of reducing the number of voters for Trump. Just shoot them. I mean, it's outrageous, Danny. This happened after the Bolshevik Revolution. And there's a film about it that I've mentioned on multiple occasions. The Czechist. Watch The Czechist of 1991 and see what the Biden admin. This is the Democrats, not actually Biden. It's the Ashkenazi Jews. It's a dual U.S. Israeli citizens. It's these Zionist Jewish supremacists in government who would like nothing better than to find an excuse to wipe out all the white Americans here, Danny. It's outrageous, and I know it stretches your mind to even contemplate, but I swear, after all this research I've done, and I've been totally unbiased against any group. I don't have a racial bone in my body. It's taken me a long time to be compelled to this conclusion. But right now, we have a Jewish Secretary of State who even goes to Turkey and says, I approach this as a Jew, not as the American Secretary of State. We got a Jewish head of Homeland Security with open borders. I guarantee you he's approaching that as a Jew himself. We got a Secretary of the Treasury, another Jew, says, oh, yeah, we can fund all the wars we want in Ukraine, in Israel, and let's throw in Formosa as well, which is completely absurd. We got an Attorney General, another Jew, who's weaponizing the law against Americans and those of us who care about this country and the Constitution. Call me a conspiracy theorist, my friend, but that's the way it is right here in the USA today. Your final thoughts, Danny.
Very good, sir. You know, basically what's going on is the powers that be are trying to eliminate the right of self-defense. They're using the Soros-backed DAs around the country to wreak havoc, and they're doing everything they can that when death comes to your door, that you can't prevent it. You're left with a butter knife. And of course, the people that come to your door are going to be the bad guys with weapons. And they want them, when they do decide to come to your door, that they want that to be fate, and it's your day, and you're gone. You die that day.
And Danny, that yeah, the migrants are coming across the border without weapons, but the government's going to give them the weapons. Meanwhile, they're taking them away from you and me so the migrants can come to our homes, shoot us, and take our homes. I tell you, this is part of the plan. Where else are they going to put them, Danny? Where are they going to put all these millions upon millions? They're going to put them in our homes. Where else could they go? Danny, you've done a superb job. Yeah, final thought, Danny.
I totally agree, sir. I mean, it's so absurd. It would be like every time somebody runs somebody over with a car, that everybody has to give up their vehicle. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. The fact that something happens in Maine, and everybody that has these firearms in locked safes around the country have to open up their safe and put it in a trash can because of some narrative story that happened in Maine or wherever, in Chicago or whatever city.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Brilliant job, Danny. Let me conclude, everyone. Spend as much time as you can with your family, friends, and people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their